Welcome to In the Money, sponsored by Flyer Financial Technologies, the company that builds cutting-edge technology designed to solve asset and wealth management firms' toughest trading workflows. In this podcast, we help advisors and asset managers understand how technology is transforming the wealth tech sector. We'll cover how to leverage technology for faster, smarter investment decisions, megatrends, and more. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to In the Money. I'm your host, Rusty Summer, and I'm fortunate enough today to be joined by our very own Randy Prager, CTO of Flyer Financial. If you don't know Flyer Financial, we power the fintech you love and use every day. In this episode, we're tackling the API economy and how forward-looking firms are leveraging it to build highly scalable and extensible ecosystems, particularly within the wealth management and asset management worlds. So let's jump into this, Randy. Thanks for joining me.
Rusty, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you being here. So first of all, and look, I've worked with you for 18 months. I've kind of known you on and off, and I really didn't know your background. So I did a little sleuthing, and you've had a really amazing career. You've developed multiple technologies and patents that power a lot of key tools that are still used today. You ushered in after hours trading in the equity markets. So like, wow, like, pretty incredible. And I have to say, on a personal note, and I really have had the pleasure to work with some of the very high performing CTOs, you're one of the best by far, one of my favorites. So really happy to be at Flyer and to work with you. So I think I'm going to start with one of the hardest questions first. Tell me about your background and why do you do what you do today?
Well, thanks for that intro, Rusty. I'm going to have to bring you everywhere with me from now on. Very, very generous, but thank you. Yes, it's funny. I was interested in the convergence of technology and Wall Street, even in high school. And in college, I pursued two degree tracks, one in computer engineering and the other in economics. I just enjoyed both of those fields tremendously. And my first job was as an economist with Ernst & Young in Washington, D.C., working on tax issues. And as you can imagine, that's not very interesting. So when I got a call to join Bloomberg, you know, about a month or two into my career as an economist, I jumped at it. EY was nice enough to let me go as a young kid without too much grief. And I started Bloomberg. Bloomberg in its early days, just a couple floors, a couple hundred people, and learned a lot there. And as you mentioned, I got involved very early with a startup focused on after hours trading. And from there, that took me a couple stops working on matching engines and order routing and really a tremendous exposure to Wall Street. And, you know, I saw over the course of my, you know, what I still think of as a relatively young career, a lot of interesting changes that impacted the fintech space, things like decimalization, moving from T+3 to T+1 settlement. So, you know, just a lot of very interesting experience I've managed to acquire and accumulate. And I've, to this day, remain fascinated by how technology can be used to, you know, move money around the different participants in the ecosystem.
Super interesting. And I would say that not everyone's been fortunate enough to have that experience, both professionally or personally. And so very cool on that front. So let's jump into, you know, our topic here, which is the API ecosystem and how do people use it? And let's start maybe something fairly simple. Let's start at the beginning and say kind of why APIs. And before you jump into that, as I was trying to get prepared for this, I was thinking personally, like, how do I connect with this? To me, it was a little bit analogous to my experience with Bluetooth, right? Initially, like, it was, everybody talked about it. It was interesting. You know, it's the late 90s. But I was lucky if I had one thing that actually could connect to Bluetooth. But people kept telling me it was there, it was important. And we look at today and boom, everything connects via Bluetooth. When you sit down in your car, your phone connects. When you sit down at your desk, your headphones connect. And so you have your own little personal Bluetooth ecosystem. And I wonder if there's something there with regards to kind of APIs and how people professionally and technically are trying to create these ecosystems. Why APIs? Like, why is that important?
Yeah, it's a great, great analogy, Rusty. And I think it all comes down to, at the end of the day, when you peel away all of the marketing jargon and how we got there, whether it's Bluetooth or the API economy we live in today, it comes down to utility. And the reason why these things take off is that organizations and individuals realize there's tremendous utility, tremendous benefit to these technologies. And that this benefit, this utility may not be evidenced right at the beginning, but as market participants start to build and engage with these technologies, you start to realize the tremendous utility, the tremendous benefit that you can acquire by participating. And that's how these things take off. It really just comes down to that once you peel away some of the tech jargon. So for me, really the API, what I call the API revolution, it started not that long ago, really the early 2000s. And there was a convergence of the technology got easier for a wide range of people to implement. A white paper or a PhD thesis, I forget the origin of it, of a tech stack called REST. And what REST was a set of guidelines for how different systems should talk to each other. And what's the contract between them? So that came out, and that was some foundational work. And then really the first firm that drove this into the marketplace in a big way was Salesforce. Yeah, so that, right. Salesforce came out with their API, you know, early 2000s. And that's how people started to interact with it. And they realized, hey, Salesforce is doing this. And with this REST, R-E-S-T tech stack, it's easy to interface and integrate and talk to Salesforce. And hey, guess what? I got a lot of utility. It made my life easier. And that's kind of how it took off.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if you think about Salesforce and their marketplace, right, there are hundreds of opportunities to connect and interconnect different applications and workflows that you can then build out something that's very important to you that matches off with how you do business. And I think that that's one of the great things about the API economy and the revolution is, how do we start to build this out so that, you know, we're better able to support our clients and our, you know, operations folks to be really efficient and have good experiences? So, you know, when did Flyer really start focusing on the API opportunity? And, you know, what drove that, and how do you approach clients for the first time?
Yeah, I'll try to remember all of the questions kind of embedded in there, because there's a lot. I think one of the key things for us, and I think for any firms, not just unique to Flyer, what drives us to an API-based approach is the opportunity to really leverage the investments we've already made at our firm in infrastructure from the connectivity side and product investments. How do we leverage that to a much wider audience? And that's what APIs allow us to do. They allow us to expose the investments we've already made and allow other firms to interact with it in ways that were not maybe obvious to us initially, in ways that are more specialized than what we as a company would ever explore. And that opportunity to take the multi-million dollar and multi-year investment we've already made in our trading network, in our OMS, in our allocation platform, and allow other folks to play with it to get utility and benefit from it in markets, in workflows that were never really going to be developed by us directly. So, you know, that's why we really started to look at, we realized an opportunity exists to get further value on the investments we've already made in our platform. So that's one thing, you know, and I think the other kind of key driver for Flyer getting engaged with the API economy was, you know, mid-2000s to kind of 2008 timeframe, we started to move all of our platforms to AWS. And AWS is the Amazon Web Services, but it's essentially moving a lot of our, what were previously on-prem components living in our own data centers, moving them into Amazon. And once you start to do that, you make it much easier for firms to start to connect and interact with your services. much easier also for our own internal teams to start interacting with these services. So we knew that there was a big benefit to the API approach. And once we began moving to AWS, we realized it was much easier for us to deliver this to our customers. And so we just started focusing on that. And our first API, if you will, was an API into our trading network. So allowing folks to leverage our trading network coming in via an API and whatever workflow and whatever language they wanted to do, we were able to support.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to think about technology even 10 years ago. It's very siloed and very hard to integrate and get kind of cross-functional use out of it. And to your point, get scale, you know, on your investment. And now 10 years later, wow, you've really got a lot of opportunities there. I've personally seen the successes of large and small firms within the constructs of digital transformation initiatives, you know, really trying to create scale, improving their time to market, being really smart about the allocation of a dollar when they're creating intellectual property. And I'm sure you really have too. You know, what are some of the examples that you can provide that folks might be able to take away and, you know, think about in terms of you know, their business?
Yeah. Yeah. Another good question. I mean, I think, look, at the end of the day, what it allows folks to do is it allows Flyer to focus on what we do very well, which is the connectivity and trading and ease of generation of orders and allocations, the things our platforms do very well. We focus on that. And our customers then can focus on the things that they do very well. So it really provides opportunities, I think, as you just said, better resource allocation for both firms. Flyer focuses on our strengths and our customers focus on their strengths. So, and like you said, we've had large firms and small firms both take advantage of this API-based approach. So, you know, in no particular order, we've had firms who have built their entire OMS front end, their own look and feel, their own UI, their own UX, but powering that look and feel are the Flyer trading APIs behind the scenes. And I think we've had customers from contract signing to go live with a product in under 2 months with something like that, which is unheard of.
It's crazy.
Right. So that's kind of an obvious maybe use of the APIs. And then as you're out there and you run into unexpected use cases, which is what I think are so fascinating. So we have other customers who are just using Copilot APIs to almost act as their database, their real-time intraday database of positions. In that particular case, they use just a little bit of our trading connectivity functionality, but they use a lot of our application functionality to act as a real-time position store. So that's something that we would never have really thought would be an obvious opportunity. A customer brought it to us and we were able to support it. So to me, that was very fascinating. The other piece that, of course, pops up, you know, almost every month is customers want to connect to us to route information to one of our partners. And those customers have any number of file formats, of API formats that they want to use to connect to us. And we're able to support all of that through our API, various API endpoints. So, you know, all of that to me is just fascinating as we've built this to see the extent to which it's been utilized in ways we weren't expecting by our customers and our partners.
Yep. It is interesting to think about even the types of firms outside of being large or small, you know, how they've done, you know, what kind of firms they are and what they're doing. So, you know, I can think about on my side right now, startup technology firms trying to bring very unique experiences to their client base or their emerging client base and using APIs to grab technologies that they don't necessarily think maybe are their best spin to build and develop intellectual property, right? It improves their speed to market and gives them an opportunity to get out and be very successful fast. You know, I also see some firms, you know, larger and smaller, maybe custodians who have maybe large workforces, but they want to, you know, allocate their resources in a certain way. So they maybe reach out and leverage a Flyer or somebody else to bring in maybe some commoditized or specialized technologies and, you know, kind of rent that. Right. And so we've seen some good experiences there. And then we've seen on the larger side, you know, think about the bank trust, bank wealth side, seeing them consolidate down possibly trading desks or, you know, their technologies and vendor list and leveraging APIs to support that in a number of different ways. And so you've got kind of on the one end, you've got these small startup companies who are really, you know, aggressively leveraging it. And on the complete other end of this, you have very large organizations, top 10 banks with, you know, unlimited resources effectively. And they're trying to figure out how to run their systems as scalable and efficiently as possible and maybe narrow down their number of vendors that they're using. So we see a lot of activity in this space, particularly around APIs and time to market and people wanting to be really successful. So
yeah, you mentioned something that is really fascinating to me, the kinds of partners and customers that we're working with now. It spans the gamut for participants in on Wall Street. We've got wirehouses. We've got custodians, we've got brokerage firms, we have market makers, we've got execution service providers, asset managers, investment managers, RIAs, other technology platforms. They are all leveraging some aspect of what we've built. And so that to me is fascinating, just the breadth with which we're able to interact with the broader community.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, let's move on because I know we're chatting a bunch, but I think that all of this sounds good. But I suspect that there are pitfalls and challenges that really could derail your best ideas and efforts. What are three top items that anyone building a plan should be thinking about?
Yeah, that's it's true. There's lots of gotchas that we're thinking about, but a couple things that we did from the beginning that we were able to leverage to avoid some of the pitfalls. You can't avoid all of them. And when you do encounter an issue, well, how do you get to a quick time to resolution? You have to have really good logging. You have to really understand what's going on in your environment across these different kinds of workflows, across these different kinds of customers. So we've built a lot of tooling from, you know, embedded from the ground up that allows our team to really visualize and see what's going on in our environment. So really powerful, very clear access to logging. That's one thing. And it sounds a little boring. It sounds mundane, but you know, it's really the backbone of a well-run service organization is being able to see what's going on and narrow into issues when they happen in real time. So that's one thing that we use all the time and was key to us, our success. The other thing that we focus on constantly is performance. So that involves understanding from a number of different dimensions how we are performing. Some customers really care about throughput, how many total messages we can process or route, the workflow might be. Some care about latency. They don't have that many messages, but the ones they do have, they want them to be in and out very quickly. Others are really focused on specific workflows. So those workflows may drive allocations with 50 or 100,000 members, which generate allocation messages that are in the megabytes. Focus on performance, and that starts with your developers writing very performant code, but it also involves understanding the infrastructure that's running that code. It also involves the ability to profile and investigate where things are slow or where things don't operate as expected. How do we get visualization of those areas and how do we address them? So embedding a culture of performance and performance testing, benchmarking is really important. And we've done that. You know, we got our start writing software for hedge funds and brokerage firms focused on the DMA or direct market access space. And so we were fortunate that everything we built from the beginning that now powers our organization was built with exacting performance standards to satisfy that market. And so that's been really key. And that's also one of the pitfalls that we are challenged with from time to time, is maintaining that performance advantage over our competition. And then finally, again, not something that's that interesting, but it's key to allowing us to address issues when they occur and have confidence that issues are behind us. We have a very impressive, very expansive framework for testing our software. And that goes all the way through from performance testing to what we call integration testing or unit testing. We have thousands upon thousands of tests that our software goes through every night. If there's a customer issue, we can replicate it and then we fix it. And then it's part of our test suite. And that includes a very powerful product that we call Certiflyer, which allows us to mimic trading flows from either the buy side or sell side or investment manager, asset manager firm. And we drive all of those trading flows as part of our test cycle. So, you know, yes, there are issues that keep us up, and we've really worked hard to make sure we have the pillars to handle those things.
So if I had to kind of back that into, you know, one of those three things again for folks so that they remember, you started with logging, right? And making sure that you've got good infrastructure, performance, making sure that things are being monitored and planning ways to stay ahead of those workflows. And then lastly, you know, understanding the client, whether that be an internal client or an external client and how they use it. And so being able to work closely with your partners and being in front of, you know, gaps and enhancements and making sure things get implemented correctly. So all super interesting. And I think that anybody, whether or not you're a technologist or you're a business owner, these are all the types of things you should be thinking about as you are building out your roadmap for what your tech stack and what your client experience is going to be like in the future. So that gets me to what's next. What is the future? And we know technologies only are here for so long, and then things change and evolve and morph and turn into something sometimes entirely different and hopefully better. What's the future in your mind?
Yeah, our work is never done. And so we do have a lot of interesting things in our pipeline. We're looking at adding, to the extent some of our APIs are polling based, we're looking at adding event-driven versions of some of those APIs. And so that is a really exciting opportunity for our customers. And just for folks who may not know, there's polling, which is you keep checking with the platform to see if the work is done or the job is finished. You keep asking, are you done yet? Are you done yet? That's a polling model. And then the streaming model is we send you a little note and say, hey, the job is done. And you don't have to keep asking us. So rolling out more of those event-driven APIs where possible, that's in our future. The other thing we're really focused on is being able to handle very large message payloads, which again, not totally obvious, but in our business, sometimes these messages are just a few sentences, but sometimes they are entire novels. And not all of our endpoints that we work with, our customers can handle those large messages. So how do we support them? How do we handle these large payloads and help our customers out? So we have work going on there. We're also looking at, you know, it's a broad topic. It's called federated identity. But what really that means is allowing folks to connect to us using whatever identity provider they're using today in their organization. So whether that's Okta, or Google, or Microsoft, allowing our APIs to talk to those identity providers for things like security and log on. Again, make things easier for our customers. And then, you know, finally, what we've been looking at for both internal tooling and some external tooling is, well, where does the world of AI sit within our particular world? And how do we leverage that? So things like bringing AI as a development partner into our development team, helping us maybe write some code more efficiently, helping us examine the code we do have. So those are some of the topics kind of on my short list that we're looking at here at Flyer.
Super interesting. And I think that AI certainly is going to be a topic in a future episode of In the Money. So looking forward to that. But I would like to say, Randy, thank you so much for spending a half hour with us today, you know, sharing your expertise and experience with what's going on and helping our listeners understand a little more about how forward-looking firms are leveraging the API economy to build really highly scalable and extensible ecosystems, you know, particularly within the wealth management and asset management worlds. Flyer Financial is the firm that powers much of the fintech world that you love and use every day. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for listening to In the Money, the show that delivers advisors, asset managers, broker-dealers, and other technology service providers the knowledge they need to navigate this industry. Don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Flyer Financial Technologies. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only.